This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thank you very much for your company today. I have finally come to, I think, one of the most iconic sites in Reykjavik, if not in all of Iceland. This is really hard to miss. This is Putlan. These are the former water tanks, and we'll get into that, which sit atop the hill at Öskjulíð, more or less in the center of Reykjavik, affording wonderful views of the city and the surrounding area, and of course the forest of Öskjulíð down towards the left from where I'm standing as well. Having our conversation around 10 o'clock in the morning, you can probably hear the cars already, because this is a very popular attraction here in Iceland and in Reykjavik. And as I say, we've, in the best part of what, 700 shows or something on RÚV English Radio, never actually come here. Today I rectify that. My guest is Evelina, who's going to guide me around. Evelina, welcome.
Hi, hello everyone.
Good to meet you today. Wonderful to have you guide us around. What's your role here?
So I do work in Putlan in marketing department, and basically, you know, I am doing everything that's needed to be done.
Okay.
We're helping each other here, so, you know, our team is quite small. My colleague, as you can see now, is taking a picture of us. That's Stephanie from sales.
Stephanie's in front of us with a lovely dog who's wondering what's going on.
That's the owner's dog.
That's the owner's dog.
Yes.
Okay.
Meet Hugo.
He is lovely. Okay, so I want to replicate the experience that you have when you come here. So we're standing outside. We're going to walk in now into the entrance at the front of the building. So this is what people experience for the first time as they walk into these giant water tanks, this big structure. And as I say, there are quite a few people already, as we have our conversation at the end of October, 10 o'clock in the morning, already doing that. I guess that you are seeing visitors all year round.
That is absolutely correct. Of course, our busiest season is like for everyone here in Iceland. I'd say, you know, starting picking up in July, beginning of July, end of maybe June, and gets really, really busy by August.
Okay.
Yes, so those are like, you know, 2 months, I'd say, when it's really, really busy here and everywhere around in Iceland. And then it starts getting slower. But we do have guests every single day. We usually welcome from, you know, 1,000 to 3,000, 4,000 people every day.
Now, what you can hear there is a geyser going off.
Correct.
In the foyer.
Correct. His name is Styrmir.
Yes.
We opened this geyser actually last year, July. It shoots 25 meters up. And as you can see, it starts in a basement floor, which is -1. And goes up until the fifth floor.
And is that cold water or hot water? We're not close enough.
That is cold water.
It's cold.
Yeah,
okay.
That is the cold water. And it's being, like, you know, reused from the pool to shoot up again and again.
Yes. So we're in the foyer now. This is the main entrance. And this is a building that's changed a lot over the years. It was the water tanks that fed the city. So we'll start there, I think, with the history.
Yes.
Because that's what gives this building its amazing shape and its iconic design.
Yes, it is a very interesting building. And, of course, it's became a landmark here in Iceland for people. So the history is very, very unusual, I would say, as for the building as we are looking at it right now and the architecture here. Because the building began, I'd say, as like a cluster of water tanks, which are like, you can imagine these huge, colossal, big, big metal water tanks. That are basically holding 4 million liters of water in each of them. And we have 6 of them. So one by one, they got built here in Öskjulíð Hill, which was selected as well as like for the water pressure. Mm. So the water tanks here have like a purpose being up on a hill, because apparently the water pressure was just the best here. And one by one, the tanks were built. We have 6 of them now. And architect Ingimundur had an idea of like, let's connect the water tanks all together and have a building here. So that's what happened. And in 1991, Putlan, as it is now, got open to the public with this glass dome sitting on top, which is visible from everywhere, mostly in Reykjavik city.
It's become a real icon of the city.
Yes,
I think you could add Harpa to this as well, of course, in recent years.
As a landmark,
with Hallgrímskirkja,
sure.
Putlan, Harpa, the three, if you were to show that internationally, there's a chance people would recognize
it
as Reykjavik.
Absolutely correct. And as it happened was that Portland for many, many years was mostly empty building. Mm. It didn't really have a purpose, to be honest. You know, it was just a beautiful place for community to come in, for, you know, Icelanders to swing by with their kids, to observe, to go onto the observation platform, enjoy the views, you know, and have a cup of coffee. And basically, this whole space, I mean, I know you guys cannot see it, but it was mostly empty.
Well, we're going to describe it as we go around, a whistle-stop tour of the building. We're not going to spend too long at each of the attractions because I want you to come along and experience them for yourself. There's a lot going on in this building. But for anyone who doesn't know, the water tanks that this was all constructed for, are they still in use?
Yes, absolutely correct. So as I mentioned before, we have six of these huge water tanks. Two of them are drained and four of them are still fully operating. And what is interesting about the building, if I could come back, there's like this metal seam structure, as you can see everywhere in the dome as well, in between the windows. So the water in the tanks runs through the building as a furnace system. So that's also an interesting fact.
Right.
And coming back to the tanks that are drained is that in 2015, once we leased out Portland building, we started building exhibition in one of the tanks. So two tanks are empty, four tanks are still operating. One of them hosts ice cave and glacier exhibition. So we'll be walking in the tank.
Into one of the tanks.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And on the other side, this tank over here, we are now surrounded by two tanks. So this one is Ice Cave. This one here is the Northern Lights Planetarium.
The other four still serve the city.
Yes, okay. Yes, correct.
All right, so we've walked in. We're in the foyer, as I say. The first thing you see is the ticket sale desk and the Wonders of Iceland entrance is
correct.
Off to the right as well. So I'm in your hands now. Guide us through. Let's assume that we've paid.
Yes, we paid for the tickets,
okay.
Definitely.
Right.
No one's going to stop us. You're with me.
So the Wonders of Iceland is the first thing that we come to. What's in here?
Yes, and that's the beginning of guest's journey here in our museum. This is what everyone starts with, coming into Forces of Nature exhibition through Wonders of Iceland entrance.
So which ones are we focusing on here?
There are many wonders in Iceland, and we try to cover them all. It's very difficult since we have limited space in the building. So right now we're walking in an exhibition called Forces of Nature. This exhibition is all about geology of Iceland, plate tectonics, mud pools, geysers, earthquakes, volcanoes, you know, and such. So the one thing to know about our museum is that we are not your classic museum, not the National Gallery, you know, or anything like that. We try to connect all the senses here in our exhibition. So we have, for example, in this exhibition, we have replicated, custom-made Keltingadalir eruption scent that guests can lift up cloche.
Yes.
and try to imagine what it feels like to be next to the eruption site. You know, of course, you can touch here things, you know, you touch and experience here things. Yeah. If you sit down here, the seat it has earthquake simulator, so you feel what it means to feel the
and there's lava channels designed through the seating as well to give you a sense that you're actually
very
in
nice
the
near the
eruption. Do you find that you get visitors that come here, they've seen the real thing, and now they want to find out more and learn more about what they've seen?
Absolutely. And that's the purpose of this museum. We are not trying here to replace the nature.
No.
You know.
And trying to explain it.
Exactly. We are not saying you would rather, you know, come to us than go and see the real glacier. No. We are trying to give all the guests and Icelandic people an understanding about why Icelandic nature is so phenomenal, why everyone, for example, now hearing about these volcanic eruptions happening every 3-4 months, right?
Yes.
What's going on here? What is the magma chamber? And, you know, why Icelandic people live in this sort of nature covered, you know, surrounded by mud pools and geothermal, areas to bathe in.
And talking of the nature, you have recreated Lauterbjarg, the cliff. Or the cliffs with all the different birds, many puffins here, or model puffins to give people a sense of what this might look like. So there is a role here, isn't there, for I don't know, if someone is unable to get to Lauterberg, if they're unable to get to the volcano site, because we haven't had tourist-friendly eruptions, particularly over the last
wonderful
few, have we?
Insight, yes.
This is definitely the next best thing.
Absolutely. So what it is in Pertland, you know, we have everything covered. We have Northern Lights covered, so you can come into the Northern Lights Planetarium and see the Northern Lights, real footage, plus get to understand the scientific part, right? And we also cover, let's say, lore and folklore, so you get to understand the interpretations, you know, how Icelandic people saw it, how Scandinavian people saw Northern Lights and stuff. And, you know, and then we have actual ice cave that you can step in all year round, you know, since we all know exploring glaciers might not be very safe attraction for everyone all year. So in this place, we have 100 meter ice cave with real features of Icelandic glaciers. So you can see the real volcanic layers from Eyjafjallajökull and see mullins and crevices and just get an understanding without, if you don't have, you know, a possibility to go out and explore the nature, you can get an understanding here. Same with the volcanoes and the volcano show.
Well, let's move through towards those parts of what is happening here at Pertland. As I say, we've been in the introduction, I suppose, as people come through, it's the first thing they see. Whales are discussed in the part of Pertland that we're in at the moment. Very interesting feature for lots of people that come and visit Iceland.
We also, as you can see here, if you would lift your head up right now, Darren, you can see our Blue. His name is Blue.
He's a flying whale.
Right now he's floating. As you can see, there's a tether attached to it.
Yes.
But it is basically, you can imagine, a drone being a whale. So, you know, this is one of the newer projects here in the house as well, in addition to Land, Coast and Ocean exhibition, talking about the life in the ocean and, you know, Icelandic coast.
So where do we go now?
Right now we're standing either next to the ice cave entrance or the new Into the Volcano show.
Which one do you want to take us into first?
I would like to take you into the cave. Is that okay?
Absolutely. This is the ice cave.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we go.
Now
into
I like
the
cold. I'm the one who sits in the cold pots every morning outside.
Are you?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So this will not be
this
challenging for me. But minus 10 is what it gets down.
Yes, it is minus 10 degrees inside. Sometimes it can get up to down to minus 15 though.
Okay.
Because the temperature is regulated automatically. So we're passing the polar bear. That's Daisy. You can say hi to Daisy.
Okay. How do you keep this cold? Is it just extreme air conditioning?
As far as I'm aware, very well, very, very good freezing system of some sort.
Okay, so we're gonna sneak in here to
we are sneaking in, and without further introduction, I'm gonna take you straight into the ice cave, and we're gonna talk about the ice cave features as we quickly walk through it.
Okay, how long do people spend in here then?
In Pertland or in the ice cave?
In the ice cave. Once they're inside, if they're a bit cold, do they tend to rush through, or are they fascinated?
If we say we're gonna see a real ice cave, they imagine this is gonna be still plastic and not cold, even though we warned them that this is gonna be minus 10 and it's gonna be a little snow and ice. So you know, they're
real.
Always shocked
is,
once they come in and they're like, oh, it's real. So they usually spend here more time. I'd say 10 minutes, 15. You can stay here for half an hour and keep on taking pictures, which usually happens.
Proper ice we're talking about. It is definitely down at minus 10. I would say there is ice above us, which you can touch and it comes off in your fingers. It's being created all the time, and it's quite easy to walk here because there is a grid. And I'm very bad on ice, actually. I love the cold, but I can't walk on ice at all. I usually fall all over the place.
And in Iceland, we have so much ice here.
But I'm not falling at all here, so that's good.
Oh, you're careful. So right now, we are surrounded by the glistening ice walls.
Yes.
And these layers here in between is real Eyjafjallajökull ash.
Okay.
Which I know, you know, I'm saying Eyjafjallajökull like it's nothing, but it is this infamous volcanic eruption, you know, in 2010 that all the media news tried to pronounce.
It's interesting that you mentioned the ash, because every time we've had an eruption over the last, 12 or 13, maybe one more by the time this conversation goes out, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
People assume that the airport's going to be closed. People assume that flights are going to be cancelled because it happened in 2010 with Eyjafjallajökull. Now, the difference between that eruption and the ones we've seen recently is, as you say, the ash.
Exactly, absolutely. Because right now, eruptions that we are having, they are not coming from the glacier. They are not glacier eruptions. Because if Atlayokut or was sitting underneath the glacier.
Yes.
Right? So the what happens when the heat and ice comes together?
You get what happened in 2010,
right?
And lots of ash going up into the sky, which aircraft don't like.
Yes.
When we have eruptions that simply come from the ground, when the ground unzips itself, as we've seen on the Lekinas Peninsula, there is no ash.
Absolutely.
Or very little.
There is. Yep. Yes, you're correct. So that does not affect the flight traffic at all. So far we had 13 eruptions right now?
I've lost count, genuinely.
Right.
So many.
Right. We have an eruption every 3-4 months now.
It seems.
And, you know, the flight traffic hasn't been affected. So the only thing is that this local area in Reykjanes Peninsula gets closed off. People from Grindavik are evacuated and businesses closed. And everything else operates, you know, as usual, business as usual. Everyone is going to work and...
We've stopped next to a throne which is made of ice. Now, I was once at a wedding in an ice hotel in Sweden many years ago, and there was lots of furniture. It was beautiful. Lots of furniture like this, sculpted from ice. On this throne of ice here, there is a rug which is made of...
This is actual fur.
Actual fur.
Yes.
Reindeer
sheep.
Fur?
Sheep
fur.
Mm-hmm.
Sheepskin and sheep fur.
So
does anyone sit on this?
Oh, yes. This is the most Instagrammable spot in the ice cave. Grab a seat.
I'm going to sit on it.
Please.
I bet it's not cold at all.
I'll take a picture.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
And actually, there is quite a lot of insulation coming from that sheep skin, isn't there? It's not that cold at all.
Absolutely. It's there on purpose. So you don't freeze off your bum.
Yeah, no, I can confirm it was unfrozen by that experience. So we're making our way through.
I love the sound walking through the cave.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Right?
Yeah. And you've got visitors in here now as well who are
taking pictures. Yeah. And right now we see one another real feature of the glaciers, which is called mullen. You see these holes in the ice,
yes.
and people love to peek their heads in and take pictures as well. So as I said, you know, our ice cave is absolutely one of our guests' favorites.
Yeah, it's one of the star attractions here, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But there's more at Pirtland that we're about to experience, and much of it takes place in a part of the building which is rather warmer than the one we've just been in.
Right now we're messing up a little bit the usual guest's journey.
Yes.
We were trying to avoid the crowds, so I'm taking you through this special entrances and exits.
I thought that was happening. Okay, special treatment for Roof English Radio.
So we now walk into
another exhibition. This is the glacier exhibition,
yes,
because that's another thing that people are really interested in.
And you can see that you're standing in a tank. Do you see the exact same shape?
So this is one of the six tanks.
Yep, that's one of the six tanks. This one is, of course, drained because we are standing inside of it, and
yes.
It is used for the exhibition. So we have two of those that are used for our exhibitions. This exhibit is same as the ice cave. These are the first things we opened the building with in 2017. The museum opened with the ice cave and glacier exhibition only. So this is, you know, like historical moment for our museum,
yes,
as well, because this exhibit is one of the most interactive exhibits till this day.
Well, let's try some of that interactivity. I'm invited to stand in a circle here. This is the flora and fauna Lifriki circle. Do I stand in the circle or do I
stand on the feet?
Stand where my feet are.
And
if I point, so I'm pointing at this screen here, and it is illuminating and moving and tracking. And do I then, if I...
Now you need to select one of the three spots.
Okay, so there are some spots on the screen that I can select. If I go to that one there, move my finger there, another page opens up which tells me all about fertile land in Iceland.
And you can actually let go and just read the information and learn.
Yes.
So you don't need to keep your hand up, you can just relax.
I can relax, okay.
Yes, you can relax.
And a term that you might see quite a lot if you follow the news on Roof English in Iceland, we talk a lot about the Jökulhlaup, which is the glacial flood or the glacial run. This is the water that runs under the glacier.
Correct. And on this interactive wall that we've just been pointing at,
yes,
we see how glaciers interact with the people, with the flora and fauna as well.
Mm.
So all these points that we were standing at and pointing give you a different perspective on how glaciers affect, let's say, human life, for example, or flora and fauna.
Now, since this building was created, since this exhibition was created, maybe even, thinking of the timing of this, Iceland has lost a glacier. The Ok glacier has disappeared altogether, which was a very small glacier, but nonetheless the first one to disappear altogether. So does this exhibition touch on the loss of glaciers?
Absolutely. We talk here about the climate change. And as well, one aspect that I forgot to mention to you, since you're mentioning Ok Jokull, which is Ok glacier, I mean, obviously it's not Ok anymore, but in the ice cave, we keep an actual piece of Ok glacier.
Okay.
And there is Andres Nair Magnusson Letter to the Future plaque also over there, so as a message. So we have an actual piece, remnant of Ok glacier standing in our ice cave on the...
Being kept preserved
here.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, what's fascinating about Iceland, it doesn't seem like it's a big land, right? But there are over 400 glaciers in Iceland, over 10% is covered by them, which is, for me, hard to imagine. So right now we are standing on, below our feet, this is a map of Iceland. And you can see all these tiny dots right here marked all around us.
These are all the glaciers. I didn't think there were that many either, to be honest. I mean, the part of the map we're standing on happens to be North Iceland. I think we're standing directly over Akureyri at the moment. So many in the north here.
Yes, it's fascinating. It's like a whole cluster here. Maybe 50, over 50.
Yeah.
Right?
Loads up on the peninsula there, just to the to the west of Akureyri.
You know, and the sad part about all of this is that, you know, future prediction is quite sad. You know, most likely in around 150 years, there will be no glaciers left in Iceland.
Well, still time to see and learn about them here at Pörtlen in the Glacier exhibition, which is just one of the attractions.
And as we are exiting it, you can see this beautiful atrium right now into the building. This is one of my favorite places to go, from the glacier exhibition on the second floor, kind of this bridge, we call this a bridge, and just, you know, enjoy the magnificent building.
And we did move up to the second floor as we left the ice cave there. So this is the second floor, and we move into the freshwater ecosystems, an explanation of that, because ice is important, nature is important, eruptions are important, but water, of course, very important in Iceland.
Yes, of course. Water is important for everyone, not only for Icelandic people, right? For all the life on Earth. So this is also a beautiful exhibition. Look at this. If you can see the tall grass.
It's a palm tree.
Right?
It's a palm tree in a giant tube.
Yeah, it's fascinating for me. I noticed this, first time, I think 4 years ago, that tall grass has this immense root.
I didn't realize that either.
Imagine, this is what happens. You see the tall grass over there, just like picking up the top as you go through the beach. And then this is what's happening underneath.
So the root must be, I'm guessing that's what, about 10 meters?
Well, that's a good guess. Probably, if not more.
Yeah, if not more. And to the right of that, and I'm interested in this because until very, very, very recently, we were able to say, of course, there are no mosquitoes in Iceland.
I know.
As of our conversation, three have been discovered. The main nuisance for people were midges that bit, but the non-biting midges, just as annoying.
Yes, non-biting midges are just as annoying. And to be honest, whenever I take a hiking path around the lake here in Iceland, let's say next to Heitmark, I always avoid going next to the lake just because of midges. They're very annoying. Even though rikmi, non-biting midges, they're still swarming around and quite annoying insects in Iceland.
They love water.
They do, of course. They do, just like mosquitoes.
Yes.
Now we have three discovered.
We talk in this part of the exhibition about how water has shaped the landscape. Of course, glaciers are an example of how...
Yes, the outlet of water, yes.
Water hardens and physically cuts its way through the earth. But water can shape the landscape in many ways.
Correct. And, you know, all the waterfalls that Iceland is known for, also this is creating, a phenomenal landscape in Icelandic nature, thanks to the water.
Of course, almost all buildings in Iceland are geothermally heated, so that's another really important use of the water. We basically stick a, let's simplify this, we stick a giant straw into the ground, suck the water out, and it keeps us warm.
It's fascinating. you know, I love, in most of the houses, if you turn on the hot water tap, hot water tap, even here in Portland, it smells like what?
It smells like sulfur, although that's less of an issue than it used to be because of filtration. I think also the way that the water is fed.
Water in Portland, for example, hot water, smells like sulfur.
It's also unbelievably hot. So you can run a hot tap in Iceland and within seconds you've got basic, it's not quite boiling water, but it might as well be.
Yeah, it's the temperature rises very fast. You need to be careful.
You do need to be careful.
When you open a tap in Iceland.
All right, up the stairs to the third. Where's the third floor on this sign?
Very good question. Thank you.
It goes from 1 to 2 to 4 to 5.
Well noticed. So third floor, people actually guess think that this is a mistake in printing.
Yes.
So since it goes 1, 2, 4, and 5, we do have a third floor. And then the third floor, here it is. It's staff entrance only.
Oh, okay, it's offices.
Yes,
okay.
This is an office. This is where our managers and owner is located at.
Okay, so for the purpose of anyone visiting, we move up to the fourth floor and we come to
the observation deck area. So fourth floor hosts our own gift store, ice cream parlor, as you can see.
Oh, yes.
Right over there with our homemade ice cream.
You don't need to remind me about that.
Right, this is one of the most of course ice cream and Icelandic people is just in our blood, in the culture.
Yes.
So if we would go this way, we would reach our 360 observation platform.
That's where you can walk outside to the balcony of the building, which, as the name suggests, goes all the way around.
Correct.
So we're going to
do
that.
And
let's absolutely do that. It's one of my favorite things to do here, and always has been.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining.
It is extremely bright, so I've got my sunglasses on. We're going to walk outside. It's also very cold today, about freezing, I think, about 0 degrees at the moment. But what a view you get. My goodness, look at Esher, firstly, the mountain.
Oh, I love the scent. You just walk out and the air, the fresh Icelandic air. We should can it and sell it.
I think someone's tried that,
right?
Haven't they?
I think so.
And there is Hallgrímskirkja over towards the left. Are we at a greater height than the church here?
Good question. I think we are.
It looks like we're level with the observation platform of the church, I would say, or maybe the clock itself.
That's a very good question. I need to look into that. So this is where we can see surrounding areas of Reykjavik, also the ocean and the mountains.
Yeah.
Let's say right now we are standing in front of Esjan.
And it's very clear today. So if we look directly ahead, is that Akranes we can see?
Yes. You're correct.
Yeah.
On a good and bright days, we are also able to see Snæfellsjökull.
Yeah.
Let's go and check if we can see that right now.
Because that's some distance away.
That is quite far away.
Can
you see it?
I can see it.
So that's Snæfellsjökull right over there.
And that's a two-hour drive.
That's a two-hour drive from two and a half, I think.
From where we are. And of course, that's not the only part of the view here, because you can't walk all the way around 360 degrees. So you see the entirety of the city. You see much further than that, as we've just discovered. We can see the domestic airport straight ahead.
That's correct. I'd love to sit upstairs on the fifth floor in our coffee house, especially next to on the side of the airport, just watching the planes go up and down and helicopters flying. And whenever we start having eruptions here, the airport looks like a beehive.
Yes.
It just goes crazy.
The plane taking off just now, a small craft that you can probably hear. Do the planes come directly overhead here?
No, but what happens is whenever we have, let's say, rescue helicopters, those are flying. If they're flying that way, those are passing us very, very near. And now we are approaching, again, another beautiful view ahead of us. You can see Mountain Keilir, and that's where the eruptions are happening. So whenever we have an eruption, you can clearly, as we are standing so high up, you can clearly see the plume.
Yes, it is directly ahead of us, as you say, Keilir, but also the Reykjanes Peninsula broadly is directly ahead of us. So anything erupting anywhere there is going to be really well seen from here.
As you can see, there's another structure right next in between the two tanks.
The big black box, I would say, ahead of us. What's this?
Right. This is our new exhibition that's actually officially not even opened yet announced to be open. This is where we have this very special project that lives in this black box. You can imagine a journey into the magma chamber while you're seated on a glass platform surrounded by screens from all around you, above, below, and from the sides.
Wow.
Yes. So if you can imagine a cut 2,000 meters down into the earth, This is how the journey looks like. It's very difficult to describe it. I think you just need to sit down and see it.
I think the museum experience with the help of technology generally is so far ahead of where it used to be even 10 years ago. Fly Over Iceland's a good example of that, maybe?
Yes, correct.
You can bring these really immersive, interactive experiences to people now, can't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, we are trying to be not only entertaining, but educational.
Yes.
So these immersive experiences like our planetarium, into the volcano show that I just mentioned, and the ice cave, you know, it feels like real things. Those are like you get to understand the actual Icelandic nature through the help of technology used in not conventional ways.
What do people think when they come here then? Maybe visitors who don't have any expectations, they've heard that Iceland is an interesting place to visit, they're not quite sure why. What do they make of all this when they come here?
People are fascinated by the Icelandic nature.
Yes.
And all that they can see and learn here in the museum and also while exploring the Icelandic nature. So they are fascinated by this country, which I think is same as me. I am you know, not Icelandic person, not Icelandic citizen, and I haven't been born here, and I just moved here. And I love Icelandic nature. It's phenomenal.
There's something that draws people to the country, and whatever that is, there's a lot of it represented here, isn't there?
Correct.
And respected.
Yes. You know, and in every way, I'd say, just not because only we're talking here about Icelandic nature and educating people and showing why Iceland is so special, but also the building itself, as I said, it's like a big, you know, stamp, a landmark in the lives of Icelandic people and everyone who visits us, Iceland, they notice this building. So it is quite special. Here, you know, and when I'm here every morning, I come in and I feel very grateful to be here.
I want to just head up to the top floor, at least one floor above where we are at the moment, because if you've been coming here long enough, you might remember, as I do, the restaurant that used to sit on the next floor up, a revolving restaurant, which gave wonderful revolving views of the city and a very fine restaurant as well. And that's not existed for some time.
The restaurant that was here, you know, over like 11, 12 years ago is not here anymore. Now we have a Pertland restaurant here, which belongs to the museum and is an integral part of our museum.
Yes.
So as we are standing right now on the fifth floor, the dome is above us. On one side, we have our restaurant area and the bar, and on the other, our Pertland coffee house.
Does it still rotate?
Still rotates.
Is it rotating now?
Let's check.
Okay.
Let's check. So we're right now standing on the part that's not rotating. That's why I cannot tell you if you're spinning or not. But the system here works very easily. I'm just going to press a button and the floor will start revolving.
You're going to start revolving where we're standing.
So we
magically
are revolving. Very slowly. Are you able
to notice? Oh, yes. We're on the boundary
here. There you go.
So it's the outside ring that's moving, not
correct,
us.
Correct. Some guests think and ask us, maybe the windows are rotating. How do you guys do this? How is the dome spinning? But actually, it is the floor spinning.
It is the floor, yeah, because if it was just the windows that moved, the view wouldn't move.
Correct.
So that's good to know that that's been preserved from the earlier days of this
absolutely
building.
This is one of the wonderful parts about our museum. And, you know, it's like the dome itself is not enough, so we're gonna make the floor spin too.
Yes, and this is the top floor, so you can see right up to the top of the building, the glass dome that sits above the entire structure here. And again, I mean, you can pick any seat and you're going to get a fantastic view, which will change, correct, as we've discussed.
Correct. As will slowly change as you sit down and enjoy your cup of coffee. You know, one thing to know, though, is that before, like many, many years ago, when there was another restaurant over here, there was no museum here, right?
Yeah.
The building
was
completely empty. There was nothing going on here. You probably remember, like you said, there was a flea market in the building.
Yes, I remember that from many, many years ago. It did feel as if this was a building at the time that was looking for things to fill it.
Purpose, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and now we have, you know, three floors of museum exhibitions, shows, and things to discover and touch and feel and you know, learn. All of the things here, like all the amenities, like gift shop, parlor, everything is integral part of the museum. And it is, you know, everything is included in museum experience. So this is basically a place where you can definitely spend at least 2 hours, and 3 and 4 and 5,
yes,
if you have enough time. So if you don't mind there, and I'd like to show you, like just give you a quick peek how the planetarium looks like.
Okay.
So and this is the new volcano show without even like actually experiencing it, just having a peek,
sure,
if you don't mind.
So we're going to stick our head in and just get a sense of that. But this is a building, this is a place that people can come all year round, which is important as well. So if you are here in the winter and the weather is against you for whatever reason, because it's Iceland and it's winter, this is not a bad place to come.
Absolutely. We're very, very popular on good weather days and on bad weather days. It's you know, maybe on the good weather days you get as well not only the exhibitions but also great views. On bad weather days you might be missing out on the view. But
still quite a dramatic sight, though. If the snow is battering down and you can go and look out and, you know, not necessarily go outside but just watch out the window
as the snow falls.
And it
looks like winter wonderland once the glass dome starts to get covered by frost.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
We've come back down to the first floor. This is where the
correct
main entrance is. Behind us is the entrance to Wonders of Iceland, where we started. This is the entrance to the planetarium.
Yes. And we're standing right now, right next to the entrance. And the show is playing now as we speak. So what I would like to do is just to take you from the exit side. Again, a different entrance than we usually would go.
Okay.
It's going to be right here.
So we're going around to the other side, not where it says entrance.
Yes. And the show will be playing. So you will we'll see people sitting.
We'll be very quiet. Or maybe comment on what we see once we've seen it, in that case.
All right, let's go in. The door is opening. And we can hear Aurora telling her story right now.
The story of the Aurora starts with the Sun, one of more than 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. A sphere of hydrogen and helium over 1 million kilometers in diameter.
Again, it's about explaining, isn't it?
Right. The show just recently started, so it is, you know, divided in parts. And right now, Aurora is explaining the scientific part of how auroras are created and why do we see them here.
Yes, we visited Aurora Reykjavik, which is the center, the Northern Light Center in town quite recently. It's a fascinating place as well. And I think the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, is something that really do interest people outside of Iceland about Iceland.
Absolutely. It fascinates people. It fascinates me seeing
yes.
it, you know, multiple times per week. It's still something that's, you know, hard to wrap your mind around how you see her dancing in the skies.
Yes.
And now, if you don't mind, I'll sneak us through.
Okay. So we're still on the first floor. We're, again, just passing Lauterbjerg, the cliff side with all of the bird models, and we are going to
see the Into the Volcano, the magma chamber journey that I mentioned to you. Again, this is not the usual part to explore the exhibition, but since we are just doing sneak peeks here and there.
Yes, indeed, whetting the appetite.
Right, let's do this. So we are going to enter in this scented red light lit up corridor.
Yeah, this looks like I'm walking into a nightclub in Berlin.
Do you feel the scent?
Yes, it's not the scent of a nightclub in Berlin. What is that scent?
This is the recreation of the actual volcanic Geldingadalur volcano eruption.
This is what an eruption smells like.
Yeah, this is a collaboration that we made with Fischersund. This is how the 2021 eruption smelled like, as close as we could get to
it. So I'm guessing this is available as a candle then.
This is available not as a candle.
Nope.
This is available in our gift store as a room spray.
Okay.
And have a sneak peek with me. Glass platform right over here, the seats, and you're surrounded by LED screens all around.
I don't want to interrupt the experience that people are having in there, but my goodness, you sit, as you say, on that glass floor, completely surrounded, completely immersed by hugely high definition video.
Right.
Of the eruption. Again, we mentioned Flyover Iceland earlier, where you have that really immersive experience. It's a really beautiful
sight. So, yes, it is. In one way, I get what you mean by saying quite similar experience as you are like flying over the nature, right? So Flyover is, I guess, the show showing the landscapes of Icelandic nature, right? As you kind of fly through those. And in this experience here, you get to sit down, feel the earthquakes, as the platform is also equipped with 8 earthquake simulators. You feel and get an understanding how magnificent the land, the strat layers is, and you go down until you see the magma chamber and come up through the as a volcano.
You see it and you smell it.
Yes,
and you hear it,
and it's also warm inside. As we go closer to the magma chamber, the hotter it gets.
Yeah. I'm seeing very happy faces and everyone coming out. So I think that's
amazing.
It's good.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you for joining.
So a real vote of approval there.
Yes.
We can come in now. I didn't want to disturb anyone's experience here.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you
sit absolutely surrounded by everything here. We'll go forward as far as we can, and normally you'd be seated during this experience, but
Correct.
We'll stand right at the very. I mean. The quality of this imagery, my brain is convinced.
It's a fascinating project. So to give you a little insight, what we see is like basically Reykjanes Peninsula. You see the craters and fissures surround it, right? Moss. And as we go, as the movie starts, we kind of float over the Reykjanes Peninsula and go down into the valley, into the Silfra.
Because it feels at the moment, there's nothing moving just now. It feels
like I
could climb over this fence.
Correct.
Onto the moss.
And the screens are, you know, below us, underneath our feet and above us. And this project is made basically, how to explain, put together in Unreal Engine 5, which is another use of technology in completely unorthodox way.
Yes.
Because Unreal Engine 5, for those who are gaming, probably know, is a gamification engine. The games and the movies and like TV series like Mandalorian.
It's the same technology that's
yes.
used to make
this,
these games is, and these TV shows realistic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the same technology, and Unreal Engine 5 is being used to create this show. Since, you know, nobody can actually go into the magma chamber through 2 kilometers underneath the ground and see how it's... how it looks like. So what we are doing here, of course, you know, with the best scientists in the field and the scientific knowledge that is available right now at the moment, put together how it's supposed to look like. If you would just go down in the Reykjanes Peninsula in Geldingadalur eruption, right?
Yes.
If you would see the Geldingadalur eruption, cut the ground and you would go down and you would see what's going on.
And it feels three-dimensional as we sort of walk around and look around. We're not wearing little glasses or anything with red and blue bits of plastic. You know, you get that sense of being completely immersed without any of that. So it makes you wonder what the tech is going to be capable of in 10 or 20 years from now.
Oh, that's a very good question. Nobody knows. Because, you know, we are always... Here at Partland, we're always bending the rules. So even now, with this show over here that I just described you a little bit... this is something that has not been done anywhere in the world, you know. So we're always taking a technology and trying to figure out how can we use it in an educational, immersive, and informative way.
As it begins, I'm scared to walk on this. It's so convincing. Again, I'm trying to persuade myself that I'm not moving.
It is... It is super immersive. It feels like we are flying right now over the Erikenes Peninsula. And there you go. Here's the valley.
It's so immersive. It feels as if I am somehow about to sail through this canyon. And now we're under the water.
Yes, we are in the Silvra now. So these are like elements put together, you know, of Icelandic.
It's not possible to do this justice in terms of explaining the experience.
Right, I tried, and it is very difficult to explain.
What a way to end my visit to Puttlin. Hopefully by the time you come along, this experience will be fully open, but there is so much to do and so much to see here. Your opening hours throughout the winter?
9 to 9. We're open every day throughout the year. We open 9 in the morning and close 9 in the evening. Very easy to adjust the schedule to see us.
Evelina, thank you so much. What a job you have.
Right. I love it here, as you can see.
Puttlin is hard to miss. It's right in the center of the city. We'll put a link up to the website, though, on the page accompanying this show from Roof English Radio. For now, Evelina, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was so nice to meet you.
You too. Some of you later. This is Roof English Radio. My name is Darren Adam. You can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There's more from Roof English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.